The Broadcast, the biggest podcast in Vancouver, pretty much.
We participate in light misandry. Get out of here with that. Sexism. All of our societal structures are designed in ways to inherently prejudice women.
I don't like to be bamboozled.
Hi, Georgia. It's Troy Stetcher here. Thank you for labeling me the short king.
Vic actually just got the sweatshirt that says Mock Girl Summer.
I think it's amazing what you guys are doing, which I'm having a lot of fun.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Broadcast. It's Georgia here. I'm with Sam and Mallory. We're recording the night of the draft. I think we are, I don't know, it's been going on for fucking ever, it feels like. At least 2.5 hours it's been going on, and we are at pick 18. So we need to speed this shit up because it's so real slow. It's so slow. It's so slow. So yeah, we're going to be talking about the draft and the Avs, Stanley Cup tour, potentially some other things. We'll see. But we'll start as always with our highs and lows of the week. Our low of the week is that someone tweeted us to let us know that Spotify didn't let them give us 5 stars, which is bullshit. Like, what is happening? Why does Spotify hate us? Is it because we made fun of Joe Rogan? Or, I don't know, other Spotify stuff. So that's not very nice. But if anyone else wants to try, give us 5 stars on Spotify, that would be great. Any other lows? Have any other lows? Nope. Oh, wow. We had a good week. Okay. Our high of the week is that we actually recorded our Patreon bonus episode. We recorded with Elliot and Jackson from Roxy Fever, and we discussed the 1995 made-for-TV movie Net Worth, which is about the formation of the first version of the NHLPA by Ted Lindsay. It's a decent movie. It's also, I think it's required viewing for anyone who likes hockey, because you should know the history of how shitty this league is and how all the trophies are named after terrible people. So yeah, that's on our Patreon. So you can subscribe to the first line tier, if you want to listen to that. And throughout the rest of the month, we will be posting our weekly bonus episodes as per usual and other things that come to mind. I think Mal was putting her playlists.
I'm going to start putting what I'm reading on there. Yeah. Just like whatever I think of.
Yeah. We also talked about doing like book recommends because like Mallory works at a library and Sam and I just read a lot. So we can do it. Mallory, have you had any good recent like requests for books? Like that guy who was requesting?
Somebody came in and specifically was trying to help me find them, give them the nonfiction area of why it is bad to be gay. And I was like, okay, I can help you find that, but not going to enjoy it.
During Pride Month? Or was this?
It was July actually. Okay. It was July.
Oh, so Pride Month ended?
Pride Month ended. And she was like, I need some books on why being gay is morally wrong, religiously, and against God, which is the 260s. So, I mean, there is an answer, but.
Oh, I liked it better when it was just the people asking for submarine books.
There's also that. A bit of everything.
I have a personal high and low that I just thought of because I just looked over and saw Sloan. But my personal high is that I had flowers arrive unexpectedly 2 days ago, like unsolicited, like no reason. It was just like a random day. And Georgia sent me flowers because I was complaining about how Sloan was being clingy in our group chat. And it was the best card because it was like, you can get back at her by embarrassing her in front of her friends when she's older. So that was my high. And then the related hilarious low was I was looking at the flowers today and I was holding Sloan and she reached forward to touch the flowers and she proceeded to pull on the leaves and she spilled the entire vase everywhere. Like literally water everywhere.
She knew that they were consolation for her needing to go into baby jail. It took me forever to write that card because there's like a word limit or like a letter limit. And I was like,
it's like a tweet.
Yeah, it was. It was like a tweet.
They're beautiful. Thank you.
Oh, I'm glad you like them. Okay, that's our highs and lows for the week. So let's talk about the draft. I would like to argue that the way that we interact with the draft is the most healthy way, which is that Mallory texted us 20 minutes before the draft to ask who might go number one. And I said, Shane Wright, ? And that is how you do it. You don't need lists. You don't need, like, I love JD, love you, love Lauren, you know, Cam Robinson, great people. I do not need to invest any time other than maybe the 5 minutes before the draft. And then while I'm watching to learn who these players are, I literally have no idea who the guy who went number one is. I'd never heard his name. So I think the way that we do that is the best. Do you agree?
Yeah. I mean, I think that also, I mean, obviously, like, having a podcast about hockey is a different level, but I was saying that watching the draft is a level I don't want to stoop to. Because it lasts so long. Why is it so long? And it's just some dudes sitting at tables. I don't want to do it. So I don't even watch it. I just, like, maybe Google some person. But I don't want to trouble myself with it. Whatever happens, happens. And also the thing is that I don't want to get overexcited ever as a Canucks fan in general. There's no reason for me to ever think anybody that comes to the team is going to pan out. So there's no reason for me to be like, wow, this 18-year-old is exactly what we needed. Because I'm just being realistic.
I feel like it just would take up, like, extra brain space that I don't have to, like, learn information.
Yeah, the brain space that I'm using for, like, Love Island and, like, The Bachelorette and other, like, reality TV is everybody else's draft space. I can't use it.
I feel like it's also, I don't know, maybe people have the same genes as the people who love to build, like, Sims houses or, like, the Sims, like, thing. It's, like, the planning and all, knowing all of that stuff and then seeing how it pans out. But I'm also not that into fantasy or anything, so it might just be that. But I think it's the best way because then it's like
the fantasy genre is a hockey draft.
No, like fantasy sports.
Oh.
No, just fantasy as a, like, a literary
genre. She was like, I don't know, like, I'm not really into, like, dragons and, like, magic stuff. So, Mallory, like, honestly, I don't even want to, like, bother with the draft.
I'm not into fantasy. That's why I text you once every 2 months yelling about Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones, that is true.
We'll discuss the Jon Snow sequel series in a future bonus pod episode so I can yell about it. No, but it's like, honestly, watching the draft this way is like Christmas Day. A new person shows up, you're like, it's like unwrapping a gift. You're like, I don't know who this is.
Boy auction. That's what it is.
Yeah, boy auction. True boy auction. Anyway, basically what happened. So Shane Wright did not go number one overall.
It was great. Well, because the thing is, I was like, I think I've heard of that being a person that exists. Like, that might be true. Because I was like, is there an obvious first overall? That was my question.
I think he was the consensus number one by, like, everyone except for The Athletic, which was quite interesting.
Okay. Well, I was going to say Georgia said that because she lives with Izzy. So maybe, like, osmosis, but apparently not.
Izzy is currently at the draft. His flight got canceled home. So hopefully
it gets rebooked. Place, guys.
Love you, Air Canada. You're very fun.
But Shane Wright did not go to Montreal first, who had the first overall after, as we recall, they were in the Stanley Cup finals in 2021.
They drafted Slavkovsky.
I don't even know how to pronounce that.
He's Slovakian.
I don't know if that's the right pronunciation. I just said it.
That is why I'm just saying with they with drafted a boy who is from Slovakia.
I don't know how to say his first name. He got booed, though.
From Slovenia.
He got booed by fans, like, going into the building because they wanted to pick Shane Wright, I guess. But then, in, you know, just a full circle, like, around pick 10, he just started walking through the fan sections of the Bell Center and was just getting, like, you would hear in the background when the draft, like with other draft picks, like just sudden outbursts of cheers. And it's because he was just like walking through fan like areas and just like saying hi to all these fans. It was very cute.
So I like that. Won That's over. Good. I don't know that like, he has malicious political moves, but it is an apt like
yeah
political action.
No, but it's the most like Montreal thing, like for them to like lose their minds over the whoever they drafted first overall, but then he like just shows a little bit of love and they're like a fucking hero. It's so Montreal. Yeah, so Shane Wright ended up, he didn't even go second
or third. He didn't even go third. He went fourth.
He went fourth to the Kraken. So we'll be seeing him. Congrats to them. They now have a center.
I think it was Harmon who said, well, they got Maddie Beniers last year. So they have two centers.
Woof.
But I think it was Harmon who said, it's like the most Canucks thing ever for like their divisional rival to land the guy who should have been number one at number four. It's going to be a good decade.
Yeah. So as always with the draft, just some classic hockey men being horny on Maine tweets occurred, including Darren Dreger tweeting something about Slavkovsky saying that he's a physical specimen. A lot of stuff about like, I think one of the Philadelphia beat writers was tweeting about Cutter Gauthier and being like, he's a physical freak and like all this stuff. Anyway, so just like,
can we discuss the fact that his name is Cutter?
Yes.
Is he like from rural Canada? Is that
no?
He's not, like, I think he's from the States. Come up? Or is he like from like a super like he's either rural Canada or he's from like an evangelical like Christian Bible, like not Bible Belt, but like kind of like similar.
It sounds very American family. It sounds like a
Hunter.
Minor league,
I get like
sounds like a minor league baseball player.
Cutter?
Like he should be on the Durham Bulls.
Yeah, that's weird. True. He's in the wrong sport.
Cutter. Yeah, I mean it's a pitch.
He should be a pitcher, obviously.
Yeah, he should be a pitcher. Also, Rutger. There's a Rutger taken. Rutger McGrory
just went to the college.
Yeah. Rutger McGrory, which is a real tongue twister. But then on the flip side, some Frank dude went and a Kevin went. And so we got, there's like some more classic names. And then we got our like, hello.
Okay. I'm literally looking at the full draft list, not because I care about like the players, but I just want to look and see who has the
wildest name.
Wildest name. I mean, obviously Cutter. I think Marco is really good because that just doesn't.
I think that's a normal name. Cutter and really? Rutger are like.
I don't think it's a weird name. I think it's like very much like seems like an Italian name.
Yeah. No, for sure.
But he's like Austrian.
Oh, interesting. I mean,
does Connor Geeky have a brother?
Yeah. That's why he was
okay. Because I was like,
that's why he
I
was
feel like
at
I'd
the draft.
Heard of that name. Oh
it's
right,
Morgan Geeky. That's why Morgan Geeky's at the draft, and he got called out on Twitter.
Subject of the best tweet the today. Draft.
Wait, what?
Yeah. So someone tweeted that they saw Morgan Geeky at the draft. Hang on, I'm going to pull it up. Geeks girl. Girls spelled without an I tweeted Morgan Geeky sighting in the crowd. Someone else said where, and then she responded, IDK, they did an audience shot and I could recognize that bald ass head anywhere. And he responded, hey, watch it.
Is he name searching? What?
Probably. He got
imagine
called out
sitting in your brother's draft, just name searching.
I mean,
that's what I would do.
That's great.
Okay, sorry, I got distracted. Vanessa sent us something. I'm too out of it to be able to actually look to see what it says. I can't tell if it's saying Logan
Vanessa
Cooley's
good
or
me.
Logan Cooley's good or Logan Cooley's bad. It's unclear.
This is dead to me.
Okay.
Oh no, he's good.
Okay, he's good. I couldn't focus enough to tell if he was being like good. Pro-choice or
no, he's
Okay. So, yeah. So Habs fans booed, blah, blah, blah. And then Shane Wright gets taken by the Kraken. And then Chicago decided to start once again just trading. This, like, the day for the Blackhawks was just unreal. They decided to trade Alex DeBrincat, which there's like no one left on that team.
Except there's for literally like no one left. Seth Jones, there's the corpse of Dylan Strome left on that team, and that's about it.
And I think, like, I saw Lazarus tweet, like Mark Lazarus from The Athletic tweet, and I think, like, he was like, they're presuming like Strome's not coming back, or like is also not going to be there season. And yeah, so like I don't really know what the fuck's happening, other than what Sam has been repeatedly saying, which is that they're tanking for Connor Bedard. But at the same time, they'll be in that battle with the Arizona Coyotes, so we'll see how that goes. What did you think of the DeBrincat trade?
He's a sin now for a pick, essentially, right?
Brady has a friend.
Brady has his friend because he has Tim.
Stutzla.
Yeah, they're in love.
Now he has a little American friend.
That is true. I feel like Alex DeBrincat will do great at the Sens. That he's like the exact type of player they want, in the sense that he scores a lot of goals, but also he's entertaining to watch, but I also don't think he's going to really get them anywhere, you know? Yeah. Which is what their entire team's made up of. It's just like, maybe this could be fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they got DeBrincat for 3 picks.
Okay.
For 3 picks, but he's going to have to resign, and it's going to be a big contract, I guess, at some point. So that will be interesting. But I mean, he's a very good player. Also, I was reminded earlier today when I was looking up what the fuck actually happened this season, he was one of the only Blackhawks players who like didn't try to turn Stan Bowman and Al Mekhizyk into fucking victims after the whole Kyle Beach scenario. He actually was like, yeah, this is terrible.
The only good one.
Yeah, the only good one. So, interesting that he got shipped out. What other trade did they make? Oh, and then they traded.
And then they traded Kirby.
Kirby Duck.
Who was trade. Their only other person they had on their team.
So if you weren't following, Gary Bettman got up and announced that he had 2 trades to announce that both involved the Habs. So the Habs traded Alex Romanov to the Islanders for their 13th overall pick, which is a hilariously bad trade for the Islanders. And then they traded that 13th pick and the 66th to Chicago for Kirby Duck.
I think they the Islanders also got 98th overall. Not that it makes it that much better. It's still a very bad trade.
It was hilariously bad, but also it was really funny watching like the close-up of Habs fans, like waiting for the trade announcement, because they looked so stressed out.
Yeah. They had this shot of like 2 specific Habs fans, and they're like roller coaster of emotions, because at that point, I think Shane Wright hadn't gone yet.
Yeah, he hadn't gone. It was before.
So I think they were like, they were all thinking that they were going to trade up to number 4 or something. But yeah, that Lou Lamoriello deal.
So bad.
When you compare it to the Devon Taves trade.
For which he won GM of the year last year. Okay, to be clear, this man traded Devon Taves for 2 picks and then won GM of the year 2 years in a row.
And then traded 13th overall for Alexander Romanov.
I think he's a legend. I think everything he does is great. Particularly when he fired Barry Trotz for no good reason and said, I did not consult with anyone.
Or the fact that he's got the Yankee role where he makes everyone.
Oh, yeah. Attention. That's also especially hilarious. Everything he does is so funny.
What a strange man.
Like, obviously, I'm glad he's like not like affiliated in my area, but like, I'm loving it. I am absolutely loving to viewing this from afar.
Yeah.
I think that he should continue and also do it more. If he could like make a horrible, like bad, ridiculous trade, like at least twice a year, that would just have me sleeping easy. Like that'd be great.
It is really fun when it's not the Canucks doing this. Because yeah, exactly. We should also note that they apparently had a deal in place with the Islanders for 13th overall or something. That's the rumor. And then it blew up because they were like, I don't know.
Yeah, people were thinking that it was about JT Miller, but and assuming that one. But what I think it would be even funnier is if they were trying to ship off Myers for 13th overall.
I wish that
they would have like tried to claim that that was good enough. And actually, that's probably what happened. They're like, hey, Lou, I hear you're an idiot. Can you please take Tyler Myers for us?
He doesn't grow beards, so.
Does he not?
Not really. I don't think so. He has the little blonde.
I had not really paid that much attention to his facial hair. It's too far up there. I can't.
The only reason I know this is because Vanessa posts the fucking neck picture of him all the time. Okay. So that brings us up. Or it doesn't bring us up. We got
to
go.
It doesn't bring us up to that. There's like a bunch of other picks. We are at like pick five.
The way that I did this is I literally just wrote out 11 plot points. Hoped they were chronological, but they're not. And I know that because we also need to discuss the fact that the entire Arizona Coyotes like drafting team, except for one guy, is wearing the same suit with the same tie. They literally look like groomsmen at a wedding party. Or I also saw like the fraternity. I don't know.
Like once a frat again, party it's thing. Really funny because they're bad. I think that like, Obviously, if it was like the Leafs or something showing up, like that would be hilarious and corny and I would still be making fun of them. But like, I feel like you could even be like more like middle tier and it would be like, that's goofy and weird, but okay. But I feel like it's another level of humiliating because they're the Coyotes and they suck.
Yeah. I also
like how many draft picks do they have? Didn't nothing.
They
had a lot. Right?
They had at least two.
I thought they got taken away.
No, because they traded a bunch to make up for the ones that got taken away.
Okay.
But it was really funny when they were going up and it's like, they didn't have a draft pick last year because it was stripped of them for combine. Stop. Oh God, it's so funny, that fucking team. And like, also they're under, like, I don't know if they're under investigation, but they have like all this stuff about it being a toxic work environment.
The toxic work environment is you have to go to like a warehouse suit. That is the toxic work environment, actually.
Oh God. And they made this whole spiel about ASU and the rink and how they're building this iconic entertainment district. Like, I'm not kidding, the president talked for like for fucking ever, like for so long, and I'm like, this is why we can't have nice things, because they do this, these executives stand up there and start spouting off like it was a stump campaign speech.
Yeah, I think they need time limits. Like, I don't like, not just for their little speeches, but I think they need a shorter clock. I've said this multiple times. I think every time we talk about the draft, I'm like, they need to be doing this in 60 seconds.
Shout out to Patrick Alvin, who literally went up and was like, this is who we're picking. That's it. An icon. Also didn't attempt to do the thing which half of the teams did, which is butcher French, to the point where I think even Francois Legault would have been upset by it. That's a joke for like three people.
Someone should ask him, like, is it better to have somebody not speak French at all and speak only English, or speak really bad French? I want to know his official position on that.
Mm-hmm. Like John Davidson being like, bonjour, Montreal. Je suis un... No, what did he say? He's like, c'est une belle ville. This is a beautiful town. It was so bad. Oh, okay. So yeah, Arizona matching suits, very confusing. we're going to fast forward a little bit. Connor Geeky almost fell down the stairs while he was mic'd up. They did the thing, which never works. Like, it never works. There's always a glitch with the stuff. It's super awkward. They have him like mic'd up and he's supposed to be like talking to them while he's like walking down to this stage, and he almost ate shit, and it would have been very funny. I will also note, I said this to Mal before we started, because when I was watching this happen, but one of my favorite things of the draft is like these family members having to hug, and it like is very clear that they've never hugged before in their lives. Some of them, like siblings especially, and it's like a brother hugging a sister, and it's like the most awkward thing ever. And they're like, just, they like trying to figure it out. Anyway, I think that happened with the Geeky family. Okay, we discussed the names already. So we can fast forward to the Canucks drafting Jonathan Lekkerimäki. I'm
it's
saying
a great
that
choice because he's Swedish. That is all.
And who's his favorite player, Mallory?
I did not look that up. I don't know.
EP40. He wears number 40 for Elias Pettersson.
So cute.
It's so cute. It's so cute.
Oh my goodness. No, I didn't realize. All I saw was that he was Swedish.
Yes. So. Someone like on the graphic, like when they do it, like usually they have the graphic and it's like similar players or whatever. And then like some tiny like tidbit about them. And they probably like make, it's like they make them do the Bachelor questionnaires.
Oh,
like
yeah.
On The Bachelor, they'll be like, when they post the photos, it'll be like, this is this person. And then like their favorite restaurant and like that kind of stuff. Anyway, and one of the things was he wears number 40 for Elias Pettersson, which is very cute. He also has similar.
Oh, I was going to say, what number do you think he would take? Do you think he wants to stay in the four? He could be 44.
The Todd Bertuzzi. Yeah. Or he could just double it and go 80. That's what they do sometimes. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, like Jack Hughes is 86. It's double of. So we got to get Luke 21 and a half. It didn't take me that long to do that math. Like, I want to say it did it. Like, I just was like, well, it's a half.
Once again, I know absolutely nothing about this person, other than the fact that he has EP vibes. I'm not going to say like, I don't know how good he is or anything, but like very tall, thin, blonde boy who needs to quote unquote fill out his frame as the
He's just a Swedish man. Like, yes, that's just like what,
but that's what EP40 was. Also a right winger. Elias Pettersson was drafted as a right winger. So. They said, I think like he needs a couple years to develop. I don't know. Sam, do you know anything about this person? No? Cool. We're just like, so on top of this. yeah, that's who the Canucks drafted.
I mean, we started out by being like, we don't pay attention to the draft because that's for losers. And we would never do that because that's too much effort. And then we're like, actually, but here's an episode about the draft and what we know about it, which is nothing.
Which I think, you know, people want to know our reactions. What are our thoughts on the boy auction?
Well, my thoughts on the boy auction are it would have been funnier if Shane Wright had fallen even farther. Because like the reason was like the people didn't really need centers. It did make sense, but it was very comical. And also they kept cutting back to the Shane Wright cam, which was really disrespectful.
Did you see too when he like went up onto the stage?
I think he was just looking.
I think he was just looking too. But it is very funny because it looks like he's glaring at people.
Yes, they were said that it was. He apparently stared down
the halves.
He did not. He was just.
No, he was just looking.
He was just looking at things.
When's the last time someone fell that much when they were supposed to be number one?
I don't know. It's supposed to be number one, but there's definitely. I mean, like you know. General first round people that you're like, oh, they still haven't been drafted. What's really embarrassing though is if it's somebody who like they refer to as like a top draft pick or something, and like do all of their things, and then they don't even get drafted on the first day. Like they don't even go in the first round.
Oh, it's very, I feel so sad for the people that like go to Montreal and go sit in the crowd and then like don't
do the Mike Trout situation. When we talked about this with the last draft, I'm sure, which was no one goes to the MLB draft because it used to be 50 rounds.
Yeah, they finally cut it.
But Mike Trout went because he was like incredible. He still is incredible. I mean, but he was the only person there, like the only player. And then he did not go for like 12 rounds. He was just sitting there with his mom. Horrible.
Which is unbelievable. He's the best player in baseball.
I know.
Oh, well. I was going to say something and then I didn't remember what it was. Oh, Mal, we've talked about this before, but one of the things that we think is really funny is baseball commentary, because they just sit there and are like, who does this player remind you of? And then they just say a bunch of like random people's names and then they reminisce about it. Equally as funny is draft commentary, where they just all sit around and tell the most awkward stories about these draft picks. And they just like, it's like when they just need something to say. Yeah, it is. It's like when they talk, when the like host talks to the Jeopardy people though, and is like, tell us your best story. And it's always something that's not even interesting, like at all. Like you don't have anything else interesting. So it'll be like Pierre Maguire being like, I ran to this guy in the hallway in 2006 and he was like 10 years old and he had a blue shirt on. And you're like, okay. But they just need to fill the time and it's so awkward. Okay. And I hate it so much.
I want to amend that Mike Trout did not sit there with his mom for 12 rounds. He got drafted he was the 25th pick. Not 12. I didn't mean 12 rounds.
12. You went 12. 12.
He sat there. Picks. There are 30 teams in Major League Baseball. He sat there for 25 picks alone with his mom.
Unbelievable. Okay. After the, I don't know if it was after the Canucks pick or the one after them, because I think it was halfway through, we decided to turn this into the NHL Awards. Give Joe Sakic GM of the year right in the middle of the draft, which is so funny. We will now go to our resident Habs fan, or Habs fan, Samantha Chang. What are your thoughts?
I mean, yes, he should have won it, but I also feel like the Jim Gregory Award makes no sense. Like none of the voting makes any sense. I'm pretty sure they literally just like look at who makes the playoffs and they're like, yeah, I'll just pick that guy. And like, if in case you weren't aware, the voters of it are the other, it's like all the NHL GMs and then five media members, but mostly NHL GMs. And so if you consider how they normally run their teams, I guess the voting makes a lot of sense in that they literally make no sense. I'm still on how Lou Lamoriello won the award 2 years in a row for the last 2 years. Like you literally gave a guy GM of the year last year and his team didn't make the playoffs this year and massively underperformed. He's made a ton of terrible trades, but he somehow won last year. And the guy who he made one of his worst trades with didn't win the last 2 years, but somehow won this year. Like none of it makes any sense.
The only year where it like, I don't know, the like made really clear sense was like when George McPhee won, the year when he swindled every single person out of their draft picks when he was building the Vegas Golden Knights. And then, yeah, it's like a more recent award. I think Brian Burke is the person who like invented it, I think. And it's only been around for like a decade, so. Who knows? It just feels like the GMs were like, we need something for us, which is very funny. So congrats to Josekic for being very good at GMing. Good for you. Do we have any last thoughts about the draft? That we're only talking about the first 15 picks because that's all we watched. So if anything else has happened.
Let me see what else has been. Who's been happened since.
I did laugh very hard at this Chris Gear tweet, which I need to read. He tweeted, first 10 picks include 2 Slovaks, 2 Americans, 3 Canadians, a Swede, a Czech, and a Russian. Truly a global league. Then followed it up. Correction, Kasper is an Austrian playing in Sweden. Even more global. And I would just like to ask Chris Gear what he thinks global means. Because, my guy, that's just Europe and North America.
Yeah.
So, it was very funny, though. It made me laugh a lot. Oh, Zach Cassian got traded to Arizona. And Mrazek really? To Chicago. Oh, and we didn't mention Darcy Kemper is not getting re-signed. Oh, the other thing about...
Fleury did get re-signed.
Fleury did get re-signed. The other thing about Lekkiermäki is the Vancouver Giants own his rights. So if the Canucks wanted him to come and play in North America, he could. Otherwise, he'll stay playing in Europe. But he could play like here for the Giants, which would be quite fun. Oh my God, Ken Holland came in fourth. Oh my God.
Once again.
Oh my fucking God.
If anyone ever tells you on Twitter that NHL GMs just know better than you, just immediately block them. Like anyone who says that unironically, just not worth their brain cells.
Oh my God. 3 people gave him first ballot or first whatever. Oh my God.
First place votes? 3 first place votes.
3 first place votes, 7 second, 5 third. Oh God. That is a real thing that happened. Oh my God. Okay. Should we talk about the Avs or should we talk about what's happening in Russia? The world is your oyster.
We can do either. I don't have anything to contribute about the Avs because I hate them, as you know.
I did notice.
Go grab my notes, which yes. I do have.
Go grab your notes. Go grab your notes. Sam and I can briefly mention what's going on with the Avs, which is literally, they're just like partying like crazy. Eric Johnson is doing Instagram lives like every 2 seconds, which is really
the Eric Johnson Instagram lives are wild and nonstop.
I need to know like what his vibe is. Like
chaos.
Like, is he, what's happening with him? I want to know. I have so many questions.
He's just having a great time and he's like unashamed of it. He has no filters, no boundaries, nothing.
He did have a very funny tweet when the NHL like announced that they were sending out their new schedule. He was like, I'm not ready for this. And it's like, my guy, you've been just like hammered for ever. So that makes sense. Oh my God, we're still only at pick 24. Jesus Christ. Other Av stuff, which is very funny, is Bardan like posted some photo of or video of Sidney Crosby partying. One of the most wild things I've ever seen. Sidney Crosby in a club.
Can we discuss the other thing Bardan posted and had to apologize for?
Oh yeah, that was tough.
Yeah,
today.
They tried to like come up with some original content for once, but unfortunately, I don't know if they have an editor or
they don't, clearly.
Clearly not, because most of the time it is just screenshotting and posting, so you don't need an editor for that.
Quickly, just to finish the Sidney Crosby thing before we go. So they posted this video and then Nathan MacKinnon commented and was like, I haven't seen Crosby. Like, this is bullshit. Why are you guys TMZ? Which I laughed at. But back to the thing today, they tweeted or they posted something. It was like something about draft picks not panning out, I think. Something like that.
Yeah.
It was something along the lines of, yeah.
Don't take like the draft too seriously, because like here's some examples of draftees that didn't pan out or something.
Yeah, and
like first round picks, even, I think is what it was.
Yeah, and one of the players they chose to include on that list is Luc Bourdon, who was drafted 6th overall by the Vancouver Canucks and tragically died in a motorcycle accident when he was like, I don't even know how old he was, like
21.
21 something. Or something.
Young.
And 21 or 22, I think. I will never forget it because Chris Letang was in the Stanley Cup Finals and was his best friend and had to do a press conference where he talked about it. It was awful. So yeah, they decided to post that with some like weird, I don't know the exact phrasing that was around it, but it was like just awful.
Yeah, it didn't have anything, awful. Like a lot of the other things were a lot more snarky. Like, but they didn't really have anything. They were like X games played, like 0 points or whatever or something.
Yeah. And but. So, yeah. So then they issued an apology like 2 hours ago. Yikes. Major yikes. Not great. Don't do that. Terrible. And also, Chris Letang did resign with the Penguins. To a contract that will take him till he's 41 years old.
I legit is 35 right now. When I saw that tweet, I had to double check the handle to make sure it wasn't a joke. Cause that is batshit crazy.
Also, meanwhile, they're like not re-signing Malkin because Malkin wants more than a 2-year contract. Like that's fucking crazy, but oh well. Whatever. I guess. To each their own.
I will say that I think you can be ancient on defense for longer, as we've seen with like Edler and Tanev, like
Nick Lidstrom played till he was like 40. Yeah. Didn't he? Oh, also the other thing that happened today is when Chicago traded DeBrincat, I think, the city of Chicago Instagram account posted L on the announcement, which is great.
Oh my God.
So just getting owned by your own city. Very funny. Okay. Now to like wild news, which Mallory is the only one who's like fully informed about this. I only like, this was wild. So like full disclosure, I don't even think this needs to be disclosed, but just randomly, Izzy's the editor for Charlie O'Connor, who's the Philadelphia beat writer. And so this has been a wild ride in terms of this story. But this is, so news broke that their goalie prospect, Ivan Fedotov, was detained. This happened last week, like a week ago. Detained while in Russia for allegedly evading military service. And according to JP Barry, his agent, he's been moved to a remote military base in northern Russia. So that obviously is not great, and then kind of sparked some fear amongst other people wondering like, okay, well, what does this mean? I guess apparently teams had told like Russian players like, hey, maybe don't go back. But obviously like they can't control their choices. And I don't know, maybe Mallory, you can tell us more about like the actual like military service thing, because I didn't realize they had mandatory military service.
Well, like the big thing is, I mean, obviously like the not going back situation. Also the thing with Fedotov is that he was like literally shooting like a documentary in like St. Petersburg and they like took him. Like he was like, oh, just like on the street, they took him essentially. And I mean, also, this isn't like a going back situation. He played last year for CSKA Moscow, which is like the like Red Army team, quote unquote.
It's like the best Putin's team, right?
It's not only like it's Putin's team, like he likes it, but also it's like the like historically
the Red Army team.
Red Army team. And also like, which means there's like also weird tie-ins about like what it possibly means for military service, like playing for that team even. Like, because like some, I don't know, it's very weird. They're owned by like, their CEO is like a friend of Putin.
And I think so there's like
people have also,
when you see the pictures of Putin, like in the hockey stuff he's wearing,
He wearing
exactly. CSK? And the, also mm-hmm. the Russian like national team stuff. God, what a weird guy.
And, but like the thing is that, I mean, this is like fully like speculation, but like some like reporter did suggest that it was also possible, like retaliation because he wanted to leave the KHL because he was in the KHL last year.
Mm-hmm.
And like retaliation by also like the CEO of, but they also own the rights to a lot of Russian players like right now that have been drafted and such. The whole thing, Russia doesn't have universal conscription, but they do have like selective service. They still like, because you know how like, I don't know like the ins and outs of like Canada being a man in Canada, but like American men have to sign for the Selective Service Act. Like they have to put their name in anyway, like even though there isn't an active draft, but so they have that in Russia, but like there is an active draft. There's like two each year.
And I'm assuming they have something because they're at war right now. Also,
actually the thing is that they haven't, their spring draft, they was like, I think maybe 130, it was 135,000 were like drafted, but that apparently that's actually like average numbers for them because they're not technically at war. So normally that's normal numbers, but the big thing is actually that they've been seeing a lot of like people who've been conscripted being like forced into signing like these contracts because they're not supposed to technically go to the front lines. Like if you're conscripted, you don't have to do that. But they're like basically threatening them kind of and like forcing them into signing things where they're going on the front lines. And also there's even been drama within like the Russian, like Putin has like said that he was going to get after these generals who are sending conscripts to the front lines because they are not supposed to do that, which I don't know how real that even is on his part. So, and obviously like they'll have like selected, even if you get drafted, you can like apply for various alternative service, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But obviously that won't get like approved that often. So,
or like if it, the typical like bone spurs situation.
And they're kind of being people who have even like been university students, which normally that would easily be your deferment, have been getting drafted anyway. And it's 18 to 29 is the ages that they, that you can be drafted. So that's like your peak hockey times, obviously. I don't know. It's just like,
they don't have student debt crises, so they can't just force people. It's not what they do in the States, basically.
They
can't,
they do have a lot of their, basically the people who are on like front lines and stuff are quote unquote, like professional soldiers, like people who signed up to do this, because also obviously Russia's, if you signed up for it, you're more likely to not just be like, I don't want to be here. Like, I'm not fighting, which is obviously a problem that you can have if you have a bunch of like, they're more likely to be taken prisoner because they don't want to be there.
It's fucking but crazy.
It's really crazy. And the fact that they're also sending people that have been conscripted to the front lines and they are dying. And they are apparently allowed to be sent to quote unquote active war zones after only 4 months of training. So I understand why you would not want to do it. And I understand that also if you got drafted, maybe you would be like, what if I just chill out in North America for however long and don't come back, which is allegedly what's happening with Kaprizov.
Yeah.
I
didn't do any follow-up on that story, but it was reported that he had like faked a draft card or something.
Yeah. And
wasn't that the situation?
Maybe like fake military something.
Yeah. Cards. Some like faked a draft card or something.
And sounded then, like he had like faked them for other players. And then later it sounded like just himself. Mm. And then it said like his dad had denied the reports that he had a fake card.
Let me just pull convoluted. Up Russo's feed if anyone has all the info. Yeah, so it was a falsified military ID. That was the report, the media reports. And then like Bill Guerin was trying to figure out what was going on, obviously. And then, yeah, his dad denied that it had happened. And he had been exempt from the draft. But his exemption would have expired, I think, was the situation. Would have expired, like, this year. So, I don't know. It's so crazy. Like, it's so crazy. And it's, like, it's obviously complicated. And, like, this isn't... like for play, like even the Canucks just signed the guy out of the KHL. Like, evidently, according to the Canucks, this isn't an issue for Podkolzin or any other Russian players that they have, but it is something going forward that will be nuts. Also, like, Brittany Griner is still in jail in Russia.
She pleaded guilty today, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And it's like the most insane like situation where
you probably have to have like a very more like in-depth knowledge of just Russian like
law
politics than we do. But it's super crazy, especially with the Brittany Griner thing, because there's some Russian arms dealer that apparently is detained in the United States, and they have, it has been floated around that they would trade with that. And also alongside some guy who's in Russia for espionage, being held there. So that's apparently the level that a professional women's basketball player and, I mean, alleged hash oil, was it?
She had like a couple of canisters of cannabis oil for her vape, and she's facing up to 10 years in jail if convicted. Yes.
Which is like, there's different cultures and everything. You can't like be like, well, if like that was true, it's not like there is, I'm saying that there's a list of things that are bad. Like, it's obviously such a political holding, especially since they're trying to have the people who the like arms dealer in exchange, and she's been in custody a couple days before they started the Ukraine invasion. Was
no, I think she'd been there longer, but it broke then.
Oh, okay.
Because she'd been, one of the things that was complicated about when it first broke was people being like, why aren't we talking about this? But then there was, so there's the first wave of that. And then there was the wave of people being like, we can't talk about this because people keep saying that like, it pisses the Russians off when this is like bandied about with US criticism. So it actually complicates the proceedings. And it's just like a whole mess because of like this weird kind of, I mean, like power trip dynamic between the US and Russia. That's like, obviously has a long history. but people being like, we need to talk about this because this is like a queer Black woman who's in fucking jail in Russia for something that's like, that is so like, for us, it's like so clearly something blown out of proportion. They're like accusing her of like large scale smuggling.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, it keeps being talked about that, like, this being criticized or whatever in public isn't helping the cause. And then it's like, yeah, so what do you do kind of thing, obviously. But yeah, with the Fedotov thing, it's like, I don't know. It's just, this stuff is crazy to me. But yeah, it does make things complicated, because then people were talking about at the draft if people were going to take Russian players, blah, 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 blah. So who knows?
Yeah. And I mean, I don't want to like go into like the crazy like lib situation where they like start like being like talking about like Putin's psyche. But like, obviously, like you'd want the league in your league to like in your country to be the best league in the world. And like, if it is an act of like being like, I'm annoyed that they're the best players are leaving the KHL. Like, I don't want to know.
Yeah, I think Fedotov also played for the national team too.
Yeah,
or at least he did in the last Olympics. Team. Yeah, if I remember. And so, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I will never forget being in like I think it was a gender studies class in university, and there's like a whole story about Putin knowing that Angela Merkel is terrified of dogs because she was bit by a child, and he like, they had some summit meeting, and he made sure that his like two massive bloodhound dogs were like at his side and brought them into the meeting. Jesus, with her.
What the fuck?
Yeah, it's like, it's super fucked up, and there's like photos of it too, and it's just like, okay. I mean, we've all seen the pictures of him on the horse, so.
Yeah. And I mean, I definitely think it also brings in the like thing where, I'm not saying like your average American, like, I don't want to like put them in like this box that they didn't make, but like, it is very clearly like the Russian people who are the people who are suffering from Putin's like actions, and like, especially through
the sanctions and stuff,
the sanctions, they are affecting the Russian, that, I mean, that's what a sanction is supposed to do. Like, it's supposed to change the, like sanctions are intentionally cruel. Like, they are supposed to make it so your people are suffering and you have to change like your direction and think that like, it's no longer like the cost is worth it.
Yeah.
But, and it's crazy how much it's affecting, I guess, like the thing is that you would think that like a Russian athlete like is like quote unquote like above this whole thing of, and they're like a special tier. I think that definitely that is like maybe more of a view that maybe just out of like Soviet like concepts being like, oh, they have all this, but like clearly it's like not true, and it's like crazy.
Well, it's also like, for, so that's why I think people are like, well, what else is going on with this case? Because obviously like Ovechkin can go in and out. He's like friends with Putin. I think, I almost said Kovalchuk. Not Kovalchuk. Who the fuck's the guy on the Lightning?
like just Kucherov?
Kucherov, thank you. It just wasn't coming to me. Kucherov, I think, went back to Russia, like, will be fine to come. And like, also they're aged out technically of the draft conscription age and stuff, but like, there are certain players that will be able to.
But like, okay, also like, Russia is like a big place. I mean, obviously, but I think it is like about a third of people get drafted, like in their, a third of men get drafted in their lives. Like, and normally it's like about like a year of service. So that's still a fair amount of people. Like, if you think about that.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's yeah, it's nuts. But yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens like throughout the season, obviously. And like, if it'll also be interesting for like other players that would have gone to the KHL to play, like players from North America that might have gone to the KHL. I would not go. Like, I know they obviously need to be paid, but so it'll be interesting to see where they end up. If they just stay in like,
I mean, I guess their visas are probably sponsored through the Russian government, but I was like, could you even get a visa to go like with the
I don't
US
think so.
And Canada?
I don't like, think so. No.
I don't know if that would even allow, they would allow you to.
Yeah. I don't think so.
Interesting.
I did see someone tweet about the Brittany Griner situation and was like, They tweeted like, if this was LeBron James, like this would be front page news, blah, 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 blah. And then someone quote tweeted that and was like, this would never happen to LeBron James because he doesn't have to travel in his off season to make money because he gets underpaid. And therein lies the rub. So, okay. I think that's it for this week. Let's do our three stars. Mallory, who's your star of the week?
My star of the week is Shane Wright for having to sit there.
For just having to sit there.
And I mean, I assume like maybe like probably his agent like told him beforehand, being like, it's not looking good for Montreal. Like it's not like letting him know. I don't think he was completely blindsided, but.
No, I think he gave an interview where he was like, he's
had a lot of like bravado. Like it was very,
I think so. And then
this man was shot down.
And then this morning it was reported that, Slavkovsky, I think that's his name. Like had a meeting with Jeff Molson. And so people were like, ooh, maybe that means that they're going to take him. But
yeah, just humiliating for him. So
it's also like, like, you know, at the Oscars, how they talk about like, oh, and then they don't win and they have to make the face. But like, imagine having to do that like four times or three times in a row, like back to back at the end. I would be like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
But actually, like, Seattle's a very nice city. Very fun to play in.
I was going to say of the four cities, like Montreal would be good, except like if you don't like attention and pressure. But like of the four cities, Seattle's like the best long term place to live.
Yeah, exactly. I actually think it's, yeah, the best. It was the best of the, yeah, best place to go. So congrats to him. Sam, who's your star of the week?
My star of the week is birthday boy and NHL GM of the year, Joe Sakic.
Congrats to you, Joe Sakic. What pick are we on now?
San Jose Sharks. Oh, actually, follow-up star, Mike Greer, first Black GM in NHL history.
Yeah. And also, shout out, San Jose had a very, very sad thing happen to them. Member of their
scouting staff
passed away in Montreal.
And longtime Shark.
Yeah, just very, very sad. So, bad vibes. But yeah, congrats on my career. Very exciting news, obviously. My story of the week, I have a double. It's Megan Rapinoe and Simone Biles, who got the Presidential Medal of Freedom today. So I'll give it to both of them. Simone Biles is the youngest person to ever receive it, obviously for her tremendous talent, but also both her and Rapinoe for like their activism. Which is pretty commendable. I remember when Donald Trump was tweeting about her during like the Women's World Cup, which was a ride. Obviously that was fun. And then yeah, Simone Biles, what a queen. Okay, I think that's it for us this week. Thank you for joining us. We will see you, or actually only Sam and I will see you next week because Mallory's leaving again to go to Spain. So,
bye.
So yeah.
Oh, women's Euros just started though. So
yeah, that is true.
Support Viv.
Yes.
Or support whatever other country that's fine as well, but the Netherlands and Viv, please.
Yeah. And like eternal, three star, member just like every week is Hector Bellerin, just for being a fucking icon. He's having a real hot girl summer.
He's a legend. He's so beautiful.
He's so beautiful. He's tweeting about, you know, reproductive justice as always. Cause he's just
wearing the captaincy armband. It's just like,
I just love him so much. He was
leading us on.
He was with the Gay Gooners.
Oh my God. That was so cute.
Just a king. Actually, Mallory, what did you send me this week? Sorry, this is the last thing before we go, that you were crying about. You sent me a picture of yourself crying and I don't remember what it was.
It was Gunnar Suarez with his little pride flex.
Okay. Okay. I didn't. Yeah. Okay. I definitely did wake up to a picture really of you crying.
He looked really cute and he had his two little pride flex and he was waving them because he was on his way to London Pride.
Oh God. Okay.
He looked great.
We'll leave you all with that. With that glorious visual. Yeah, subscribe, follow us at Broadcast Pod, etc., etc. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Oh my God. I don't have this stuff anymore.